Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Lord, it has been said that preaching without passion is not biblical preaching. And our Lord, we ask that you would grant biblical passion as we deal with the great Mount Everest of the Christian faith. And not only grant it to the one who speaks, but grant it to all of us as we listen, for the glory of that one of whom it was said, zeal for the house of God consumed him, even Jesus our Lord. Amen. The late Chuck Colson, who was one of the conspirators in the Watergate scandal of the 19th of the 20th century, wrote, "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible." Wisdom from the late Chuck Colson. Well, Chuck Colson deals with what we can call the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you should impress that fact on yourself and on others. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the great elephant in the room of human history. The tomb was empty. He was observed by the disciples. He was observed by over 500 people at once. And all that Chuck Colson wrote is true. People gave their lives rather than give up the declaration that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, the great elephant in the room of human history. But along with the resurrection of Christ being a fact, that resurrection is also a force or a power. It's a power that works in people right now. What's the meaning of Christ's resurrection to you? What's the meaning of Christ's resurrection to those around you? Yes, it is a fact that is to be believed, but it is a power that literally creates a whole new world. Well, today I want to deal with that with you from a very familiar portion of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10, and it would help if you have Havenites, your bulletin near you with the text, or others who are listening, your Bibles open to Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. But the very familiarity of this text really makes it rather difficult to preach because you've heard it. And so you've got to do it in such a way that people will really pay attention. And here's how I want to do it. I know you may be tired of hearing about COVID-19, but I want to relate Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 to COVID-19 under the title, COVID-19, the Ultimate Antidote. And I want you to be struck with everything in this text. I don't want you just to read it. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to say what's said in the Old Testament in the Psalms, Selah. Selah, which basically means stop and think about that. And in a culture that's been made to stop and at the same time is very distracted, perhaps one of the most important messages we need to hear in preaching is Selah, stop and think about that. Okay, with your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, first look at verses 1 through 4, and you see something that is infinitely worse than COVID-19. And it's summarized in verse 1 as trespasses and sins. You who were dead in trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins are everything involved in falling short of God's glory. It is, if you will, a virus that's with you in your walk, that's spoken of in verse 2, and a synonym for walk, in your life in verse 3. It's a virus. Now, COVID-19, like other viruses, is some kind of genetic material with proteins that crown it. Hence, we call it the coronavirus. This one is a specific COVID-19. Let's look at the proteins of COVID-19. They're given in verse 2 in the first part. The world, the course of this world. What is the world? It's not people. It's a mindset. It's a heart set that suppresses the truth of God in unrighteousness. In the world, as it's spoken of here, God is in none of the thoughts of those who are captive to it. The late Charles Taylor, whose volume of Secular Age opens up what was true of our culture at least pre the pandemic, but Charles Taylor spoke of what he called in our secular age the buffered self. People who develop ways, philosophical and ways by way of amusement and others, by which they buffer themselves from honest dealings with God or any dealings with God. That's the world. And then the second protein here is the one referred to as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's the second protein of this something that is infinitely worse than COVID-19, Satan, the devil, our adversary, that one who brought the coronavirus of COVID-19 into the world. Remember, this is what we read in Genesis chapter 3, a very real devil who brought about a very real temptation and brought about very real misery as he tempted real people into real sin. The devil is very real. Never joke about him. He is the second of the two proteins around this spiritual COVID-19 virus, and that genetic material is what the Apostle Paul calls in verse 3, the flesh, our own flesh, or the desires of the flesh. Flesh does not refer to your skin. Flesh in the Scriptures is essentially that world that suppresses the truth in unrighteousness, that world that does not have God in its thoughts. It's that world individualized in people like you and me by nature, our drives, our desires, our thinking. All of those things are referred to in verse 3, that we have by nature are things in which we do just the opposite of what God would have us do. One of the most profoundly Christian novels written for children in the 19th century and later popularized in the 20th century by Walt Disney was called Pinocchio. And in the original Pinocchio, which has far more of the Christian texture to it than the movie does, Pinocchio, the puppet, ends up in what Disney called Pleasure Island, what the writer of Pinocchio called, variously translated from the Italian, Toyland, World of Toys, or Playland. And in Pleasure Island, or Toyland, all the boys and some girls that were there could do whatever they wanted. They had no laws, and they were there to have fun. And as a result, over time, they developed donkey ears and donkey tails. And in the original, Pinocchio becomes a donkey, animals that would be sold into slavery. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Think about that. Something infinitely worse than COVID-19. And what's the result? Well, viruses result in infection. They change us. And here the Apostle Paul summarizes what this virus of sin does in us by nature, as he calls us by nature children of wrath. Wrath meaning misery. Children who, at every point, are living under the very wrath of God because they invite the wrath that comes because they live in a toyland. in which they become not donkeys, but they become objects for God's everlasting punishment. Selah, stop and think about that. By nature, my friends, you and I are dead even as we walk. Even as people who have COVID-19 will still walk and feel asymptomatic. We may feel asymptomatic, but we still carry with us the virus of sin, and we are by nature dead. We are by nature zombies, the walking dead. And Paul says in verses 1 and 2, that's true of you, the Ephesians, to whom he writes. And then he includes himself in it, even one who was born a part of the covenant people, we all, in the first part of verse 3. And then he says, as is true of all of the rest of mankind, all are under sin. Selah, stop and think about that. This pandemic is infinitely worse than COVID-19. It is in you, it is in me, from birth. Selah, stop and think about that. And we are utterly, completely unable to heal ourselves. No social distancing, no soap, no hand sanitizer, no matter the amount of alcohol in it, nothing is able to heal us in and from ourselves of trespasses and sins, infinitely worse than COVID-19. Thank God for verse 4. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, you read what are probably the most remarkable and wonderful words in all of Scripture. But God, being rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us, which reminds us so much of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. God's richness and mercy and God's great love is literally incarnated in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great elephant in the room of human history. Only the Lord Jesus was not infected with the COVID-19 of sin and trespasses. He was born without sin, born of a virgin made under the law. Jesus was perfectly countercultural. He did not follow the world that would have none of God in their thoughts, specifically with his single eye, not on a political kingdom that the Jewish world wanted, but on a kingdom that would get to the root of all human wars and misery, sin itself, and how he resisted the devil, beginning in the days of temptation throughout his life, to the very end when all the forces marshaled against him were called the hour and the power of the evil one. And how Jesus resisted temptation. He knew no sin, but he was tempted just as we are, yet never, ever with sin. Here is perfection in this world of the COVID-19 virus of sin and trespasses. And yet, Jesus became the ultimate child of wrath. He became sin. He became trespass. And he truly died on the cross. That's the meaning of Good Friday. Selah, stop and think about that. All of the curse of the ultimate COVID-19, sin and trespass, is taken away in Christ. All of the perfection that would be necessary to have a vaccine for the COVID-19 of sin and death, all of it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The vaccine for COVID-19 is in something called the cross. But that's not enough. There must be a living doctor to use that vaccine. And with that in mind, as you look again in your Bibles at verse 6, it's not only Jesus who was given and died for us and was made sin and trespass for us. He rose from the dead. And he was seated now in the heavenly places, raised Easter Sunday, seated Ascension Day. And he reigns from heaven. Paul has already developed that in chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, when he says that Jesus was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, including the power of viruses. And he's above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He's even over the name of the prince of the power of the air. He has Satan under his kingly rule, because all things are put under his feet. And Jesus is given as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, Selah. The great king, the Lord of lords, is now the great physician who has in himself the ultimate antidote to COVID-19. And that brings us to verse 5, to verse 10, the ultimate antidote to COVID-19. And what it is it's you with Christ. Isn't it interesting that in a vaccine, which is basically the injection of dead virus cells into our system, there has to be some union of the person with the virus itself that is conquered in the vaccination. And so the writer Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, speaks of you with Christ. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, verse 5, he made us alive together with Christ. In the same way, the Holy Spirit came to the tomb of the Lord Jesus on the wee hours of that first Easter morning and gave him life and brought him forth from the dead. That's what new birth is. We who are by nature dead in trespasses and sins, in the tomb of our own sinful bodies and a sinful world, are brought to newness of life by this powerful work of the Holy Spirit doing in us exactly what he did in Christ, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. Selah. Stop and think about that. Very difficult to grasp what it is that we were in Christ when he died and rose. I don't think there's any earthly illustration that can capture that, but the nearest is this. I'm reading the book The Frozen Hours about the Korean War by Jeff Sharia. And it's so moving as you read that account of really a few weeks in which so many American and other allied soldiers risked their lives in the frozen death of that winter. And you'll read this refrain: we're doing it for our loved ones. We're doing it for our family. We're doing it for our children. And that's probably the nearest way we can think of this. Jesus died and rose and was seated up in heaven, following the great victory train that comes for soldiers victorious in war. And he did it for you. And that's not all. Because the Apostle Paul says in verse 7, this is to the end that in the coming ages, everything from the time of Christ's ascension into heaven right through eternity, he, that is Jesus, might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. This is the grand documentary from PBS, the Potentate's Broadcasting System, in which in the New Testament, in Christian church history, in heaven, and in glory, the grand panorama is how Jesus, with all authority in heaven and on earth, displays to all, and particularly to his people, the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in himself. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit produce the documentary for the Potentate Broadcasting System, and its entire focus is on Christ. Selah, stop and think about that. Brothers and sisters and friends, that's the meaning of God's grace that saves us. In verse 5, after the Apostle Paul has made this glorious statement that even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, he can't even go on with the next grand truth before saying, by grace, you've been saved. That's the meaning of salvation. And he develops that further, beginning in verse 8, when he says, what this means is, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's another way of saying, you get to glory, you're not going to pat yourself on the back that you got there. It is all of grace from beginning to end. But what does this look like? Now we're dealing with the force of the resurrection, the very power of Christ. What does it look like? What does it feel like to be healed from something infinitely worse than COVID-19, from sin, from trespasses, from death? Well, it's a whole new world. Those who are the objects of God's grace are raised with Christ, and they are seated with him in the heavenly places. In other words, in that whole new world, there's the opposite of the course of this world. God is in all of your thoughts. Is he? That's what it means to be raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. And it's a whole new walk. The Apostle Paul brackets this section by talking about the way of sin and death and the walk that comes from it and the walk that God gives to those who are created in Christ Jesus through new birth. That walk is the walk of what we would call Christ followers. That's what it is to be a Christian. It's to follow the Lord Jesus in walk, in word, in thought, in conduct. Is that you? That's what it is to be a true Christian. Whole new world, whole new walk, and it is a whole new wonder. Don't miss this. Twice, the Apostle Paul, in an exclamation of joy, says, by grace, you have been saved. It is a wonderful thing. No longer dead, but made alive. Turned from the dead living, zombies, to the living dead, those who have died in Christ and been raised with him and who live with him. Love to tell people. And what a very dear friend of mine said, another one like me converted out of the counterculture, he'd say, Bill, never forget, Christians are the true grateful dead, and that's what's in view. But let's be more specific. What does it mean that we receive the ultimate antidote to COVID-19 in Christ? Well, brothers and sisters and friends, Jesus is about the work of making self-portraits. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Jesus, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, are about the work of making replicas of Christ, beginning with his heart. It's interesting, there's only one reference in the Gospels to Christ's speaking of his heart. I am meek and lowly of heart. And that's God's workmanship, to create that in people. Has he done that in you? And what is his work? Christ's work is love. It is love. It's compassion that goes out to the most undesirable people in all of society, beginning with us. I love the word compassion in the Gospels. It's a gut-wrenching giving of himself and love to help out others. And Jesus is about the work of making people just like that. In other words, the world should see in Christians an art gallery, portraits, sculptures, pottery that's alive, showing the Lord Jesus Christ. Do they see you as a part of the art gallery that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are putting into the world, an art gallery of the wonderful works of God in saving grace? Are you part of that? So the ultimate antidote for the ultimate COVID-19, sin and trespasses, is nothing less than God, but God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now let me address a very practical issue with each of us. And let's be honest. We all feel reluctant when it comes to dealing with God. We have some sense of how we have offended him in thought and word and deed, and how great he is and how small we are, and some sense of what it is that sin is a violation of God's law and makes us guilty. And we feel reluctant when it comes to God. Don't be reluctant. This text breathes with the fact that God loves to do the work of saving people. The text doesn't say, when you read, but God being miserly when it comes to mercy, and only having a trickle of love, but God being rich in mercy, because of not just the love with which he loved us, but the great love with which he loved and loves us. And the Apostle Paul develops that even further when he talks about all of the ages, including our own, being times in which God shows not just his grace, and not just the riches of his grace, but the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Kindness, brothers and sisters and friends, kindness is the very practical work of doing good to people, of helping people, of being kind to people. The great Puritan writer Thomas Goodwin is a little more accessible to us than some of the other Puritan writers. And in Thomas Goodwin's inimitable work about the heart of Christ, he says, "What is Christ's own joy and comfort and happiness and glory?" And we can think of all kinds of things. I love to see my little children walking in the truth. That's joyful, and he loves to comfort us in our afflictions, and that's true. But this is what Goodwin says. What is it, he says, actually, that increases and enlarges Christ's own joy and comfort and happiness and glory? They are increased and enlarged, writes Goodwin, by Christ showing grace and mercy in pardoning, relieving and comforting his members here on earth. You're hesitant to come to God for his mercy? He delights in mercy. You wonder if he will be gracious to you? He gives not just grace, but more grace to those who come to him in humility. Imagine a medical doctor who has given his whole life and spent all of his resources, and he has the vaccination for COVID-19. Yes, he has it. And he comes to you, but you don't want it. Why, he would be offended. He would be hurt. He would be grieved. But you come to him and thank him for his giving you the antidote to COVID-19. And he's thrilled. And so is Jesus. When you come to him humbly, needy, as we come to doctors, knowing that we need grace, and the Lord Jesus delights to show you his mercy and make you well. And of course, that's what comes by faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Faith is going to God through Jesus Christ for the ultimate antidote, for the ultimate coronavirus of sin and death. One person put it this way: put yourself on God's easel. If we are to be his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, then as it were, imagine yourself putting yourself on his easel and let him do his work in you moment by moment as the great artist works on his masterpiece. Trust him, and you'll be a masterpiece. Or, as President Trump would probably put it, that picture will be really, really great. Keith and Kristen Getty have done the song, Christ is Risen, He is Risen Indeed, which those who are part of the Haven and part of this worship service have just sung. But for all of us, let's be reminded of the last stanza of this hymn. It so captures the great antidote to the ultimate coronavirus. The power that raised him from the grave now works in us to powerfully save. He frees our hearts to live his grace. Go, tell of his goodness. And that is so wonderful that it bears repeating. The power that raised him from the grave now works in us to powerfully save. He frees our hearts to live his grace. Go, tell of his goodness. The great antidote to the ultimate COVID-19 and the cross and the resurrection and the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our God, we praise you for what we call Good Friday and Easter, the atoning death of Christ on the cross, where he took the punishment for all of the sins of his people and absorbed hell in himself and became the ultimate dead one that we might have life in him. And that first Easter Sunday, where you and the great megaphone of the empty tomb declared your acceptance of Christ's sacrifice on the cross by his own resurrection. Oh God, may we cherish these great, massive Mount Everests of human history, including the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and make us bold to tell others. Our Lord, we pray for your mercy during this pandemic. For those on the front lines, we pray, those who are giving themselves for others, nurses and doctors and surgeons and those working in emergency rooms and the police and fire people, men and women, and so many others, those who are involved in the work of sanitation in those areas. We pray for them, and especially for Dr. Megan Gaffey of the Haven OPC, as she is on the front lines of this, that New York University Medical Center in New York City. We pray for those of the virus, for those who have it. We pray that they would win what has been rightly called the war within. Strengthen them, we pray. Build up their immune systems and their antibodies as your means to fight off the virus. And do provide medicine to relieve the symptoms. But if they're to succumb to this, oh God, save them. As they feel something of the wrath of COVID-19, may they flee that of which it's a picture, the wrath to come, and run to the great wrath bearer, the Lord Jesus. We pray for those who do not yet have the virus, who have not had it. Build up their own immune systems, we pray. And should they become those who become sick because of it, might you strengthen them that within them the war would be won. And should they be those who succumb, may they too flee the wrath to come in Jesus. Pray for those in prisons, especially for the two prisoners that we minister to in a special way through the Haven OPC. Please, Lord, don't let these prisons become incubators for the COVID virus, and use this time of great fear in the prisons to the end that it will be a time in which much faith is instilled in those who are there. We pray for the medical and scientific community as it works on medicines to give relief and on a vaccination for COVID-19. Again, might you grant your mercy. Be merciful, O God, to the business community, where many, if not most, businesses have had to, in one way or another, either close or truncate their business. Those of the Haven who are either unemployed or have their businesses and are hurting. Lord, we're meant to work. So change things in our culture that people might once again be able to labor their 6 days and rest the seventh. We pray for our nation, for its leaders and the leaders of other nations affected by this as well. Grant them wise counsel and grant them wise decisions, we pray. And Lord, please work so that there not be governmental overreach in what is done with a legitimate concern for the populace. But, oh God, especially for your churches, we must get back to public ministry and public worship. Grant it. Even more than that, our Lord, grant repentance to our land. We are so powerfully rebuked in COVID-19 for the idolatry of education, the idolatry of sports, the idolatry of wealth, the idolatry of promiscuity, the idolatry of health. We've been in a toyland where we think we can do whatever we want. But our Lord, grant us repentance from all of these idols that have been dealt with as we now must homeschool, as sporting stadiums are closed, as retirement accounts have collapsed, and as the hookup culture has been replaced by social distancing. And as we realize, we're not as healthy as we think. Give revival, we pray. Form true Christians in those who profess your name. Make them full of grace and truth, even as Jesus is. And we pray, our Lord, that you would bring conversions in our land. Will you not revive us again, O Lord? For our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, we pray for your mercy upon them. We pray that the nations, that the kingdoms of this world would more and more become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. We pray for your churches, for biblical reformation as well as revival, and for the Haven and all the members of it, for your provision for them in every way. And now, our Lord, we unite our voices and our hearts in the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, as together we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever, to which we confirm our desire to be heard as we say together, Amen.